Hello and welcome. You are listening to podcast 2 for the lecture on local and stochastic search. We resume on slide 18. The second algorithm I want to briefly talk about is called simulated annealing. It takes inspiration from the processing of metals. So it takes a temperature T, which gradually decreases. So it somehow cools down while it's searching. This temperature helps us to implement a slow decrease in the probability of accepting worse solutions. So we've already touched upon a balance of exploration and exploitation. So in most of the cases, the algorithm will pick a better evaluated node, but based on its temperature, it will sometimes also make a worse move. However, the probability of making a worse move will actually decrease over the search time. So you see here the pseudocode, and we have infinite iterations of this algorithm in the setup for the loop. It defines this temperature in each loop as 1 divided by the current iteration where it is. So T is growing, and this means 1 divided by T will actually be a smaller number. So if T reaches 0, then we will actually return the current solution. Our next move will be a randomly selected successor of the current node. We now look at the difference in the evaluation of these two nodes. If the difference is smaller than 0, which means that our new node, so the next successor, has a better value than the current one, then we actually pick this next node. If the evaluation is worse or identical, then with a certain probability, we also may pick this node. So let's look at how actually the temperature evolves on slide 19. You see here that using the E function helps us to implement this decrease in the temperature. And there is an animation available on the internet where you can actually see the different temperature values and how this algorithm in the beginning jumps very widely around in the search space, but with the decreasing temperature somehow converges more and more to a certain region where then in fact it finds the optimal solution. Let us now look at one of the most famous AI algorithms for stochastic search called UCT. UCT was published in 2006 and made huge breakthroughs possible, in particular in solving large games. So UCT combines two ideas. First, it uses a search that we denote as Monte Carlo tree search. Second, it exploits a technique to select promising parts of the search space that is called upper confidence bounds. And the combination of these two names also leads to the name of the algorithm. So UCT stands for upper confidence bounds for trees. Let us first look into Monte Carlo algorithms. Actually, Monte Carlo algorithms are a very, very old idea that dates back to the 40s. And they were used to run computer simulation for risk analysis when nuclear technology was developed. So the basic idea is that we do actually a large number of random moves, and as this large number grows and grows, this means that the average will actually approach the optimum. So let's look at how we can do this. Slide 22 gives us an intuitive example. So we want to know the size of the number pi by observing raindrops on a board. So rain is a very nice random process. So we actually have placed outside a large board made of paper, and we draw a circle on this board, and now we count the number of raindrops that fall on this board. Some of these drops will fall inside the circle and others will fall outside the circle. So if we divide the area of the circle by the area of the square, we get actually a way how we can compute the number pi. And of course, instead of using the area, we can simply count the number of points of raindrops that fall into these two areas on our paper. So if we now consider very, very large numbers of raindrops or points, then this will lead to an increasingly better approximation of the value for the number pi. So here you see this law of large numbers. So the larger our raindrop counts get, the more precisely we can compute pi. So I encourage you to try this. Put in a number of circles or a number of points that you imagine that can somehow rain on this board, and then you can actually see how this will also differ. So how is this idea implemented in Monte Carlo tree search? So Monte Carlo tree search is a method to find optimal decisions for in a given domain by taking random samples in the decision space and building a search tree according to the results of the decisions. So here we also speak of an anytime algorithm. So if the algorithm gets more time, it will actually also produce better results. And interestingly, this algorithm needs only very little or no domain knowledge. So it will randomly make moves, and the more moves it can make, it will actually make better choices. So since the 90s, these ideas were applied to game playing and also planning problems in AI. It's today the method of choice for very large search spaces, such as, for example, for the example that we saw in the beginning with the cable tree wiring, and it has also led to successes of AI game playing algorithms for the games of Go, for example, or other strategy games. So many variations and improvements of this basic search algorithm exist, and we will look into one particular variant with the UCT algorithm. So how does this basic MCTS process work? This is explained on slide 24. So assume we are in an initial state, and now we build the search tree in an incremental and asymmetric manner. So we start in the initial state, and now we use a so-called tree policy to determine the next node that we want to expand. So we pick this node here depicted in blue, and from this node we will then run a simulation. So we will simply in a random choice execute actions. So this hopefully leads us to some goal state, or it leads us to a terminal state where we have not reached the goal, but also where we can't make any moves further, so to a dead end. So we then evaluate this goal state, and this gives us also an evaluation for the node that we expanded. And now this algorithm again tries to balance exploration with exploitation. So for example, from a node that it already knows, it will explore further random so-called rollouts of actions and see how actually it can achieve the goal state. Sometimes, of course, it will also pick other nodes that it has not been looked at, but which appear promising. And you can imagine, in particular for games, such a strategy is very successful. So we start at the beginning of the game, we decide to make a certain move, and now we simply play the game to the end in a random manner. This will lead us to some end state, and then we can actually see how many points we earned in this game. By combining all these random rollouts, we will finally develop a very good strategy to successfully play the game and lead and arrive at goal states where we win a high number of points. So a big challenge for our MCTS algorithm is to find out which node to select for the next rollout. And this leads us to a class of problems which are called banded problems. So a banded is a slot machine where you put in money and then you can pull one of these handles and you see then the result of this game. And given a certain configuration of pictures that appears on the screen, then you either win some money or you have lost the money that you inserted. So in the multi-arm bandit, we actually have more than one of these handles to pull. And the question is, of course, which one do we pull? So we have maybe pulled the right handle for a while, and we want some money. So this looks very promising, and it seems, once we've also tried the left handle, that the right handle is much more successful. However, we don't know this because we have no idea how this banded machine works and what the underlying reward distribution is. So when will it give us money and when not, and how long do we need to pull the handles on this machine? So that's why we again face here the exploration dilemma. So which arm do we want to play next? So we want to play those arms more frequently, which we believe to be more successful. But on the other hand, we also want to make sure that we explore unknown options where we don't know if they are more successful or not. Because here we want to not to miss the chance of finding a more successful arm to play.
Slide 26 gives an overview over the phases of MCTS-based algorithms. We distinguish four different phases. First, there is a selection phase. So we are in a node N, and now we want to answer the question, which is the branch that is the most promising once we have tried all at least once. So assume that we looked into all successor states of a node N. We made some attempts to reach the goal state from these nodes by a random selection of actions, and we ended up in some terminal state, which either is the goal state or maybe a dead end state, and then we get some reward. So by having this information, we can make a more informed selection of the next branch that we want to explore a little deeper. So once we have made the selection, we expand this branch. Again, we don't know much about further children of this branch, so there may be unexplored children there. So we take such an unexplored child in some arbitrary way and continue to work on this child node. So these two phases are guided by the so-called tree policy. Then, once we have decided for a node, we randomly execute actions until a goal or terminal state is reached. This is called simulation, and it's guided by the default policy of the algorithm. Finally, the reward that we gained in this terminal state, we update this reward towards the root node, starting from the node where we started out the simulation. Slide 27 shows the main phases of the UCT algorithm in pseudocode. So we start in the initial state is zero. We create a root node of our search tree, and we set two important values to zero, namely the so-called n value, which is the node count, how often we visited the node, and the so-called q value, which is the sum of all the rewards that we simulated through the starting through this node. So while we have our computational budget not exhausted, we now do the following. So we look into the last node reached during the tree policy stage, and we then apply our default policy to this last node. This gives us some reward, and then we backpropagate the reward from this last node, NL, to the initial state. So it's important to note that we really only backpropagate the reward in this node. We will see in the example how this works. As the result, we actually, in the end of these simulations, we can determine the action that leads to the best child of the root node N0. What is exactly defined as best depends on the implementation of the algorithm. So we'll see one specific example next. So in this tree policy, we have to find out how do we select the next child and prime for expansion. And for this, we use the so-called UCBE1 value from the algorithm developed by our and colleagues. So here you see the implementation of the select function using this UCBE1 value on slide 28. So we have a node n given. We look at the children of n prime, and the UCBE1 value is the sum of two mathematical expressions. The first one encourages the exploitation of higher reward choices. So we take the reward sum that we have so far collected for n prime, and we divide this by the number of visits. So higher rewards, fewer visits, make this term larger. Then we have the second summand, and here is the a constant C that we can adjust or lower to increase the amount of exploration. So when you look into the scientific literature, you will find different values for C. We will use also in our example a value of 2 on the next slides. So the root that is here, is computed here, is encouraging the exploration of less visited choices. So we take the total number of choices for the root node n, or the number of visits for this node n. We divide it by the number n of a child, and if we have visited n prime less, then this term will become larger, and this child node will receive a higher UCBE1 value. So now let's look a little bit on the tree policy as a whole. Slide 29. So as long as we have no goal state, we look into the unexplored children of n. We, if there are such unexplored children, we expand n. Otherwise, we apply the UCBE1 computation using the selection function, because then we have already expanded all children of a node. So we have some first information on how good we can actually reach this goal by a path through a child. And so we can actually use the select function to make a more informed choice. If there are unexplored children, then the function expand really simply chooses an arbitrary action A in the untried actions that are applicable in the state N. Slide 30 summarizes the default policy. So in the simplest case, our default policy will simply choose actions uniformly at random, compute then the child state of and simply iterate this as long as the goal test succeeds. Then it will return the reward for the state S. So here you can also see that having a method that allows us to recognize, for example, dead ends effectively will actually help the UCT algorithm enormously. So running MCTS-based algorithms in domains where we will have a lot of dead ends has also been shown to have a lot of problems. So in games, we don't really have dead end states. We may just win or lose the game, but we will not end in states, for example, where a goal state is not reachable at all. So here we see an important property of applications. So, and for example, if we always end in dead end states where our reward, for example, is zero, then of course UCT will not get a good idea of how to actually reach the goal. So for our lecture, we simply consider a simulation based on the default policy where we randomly apply actions. One can also make this a little bit more sophisticated and use, for example, statistic methods here. What is important is also is that we actually back up the state or the reward only from the node N up to the initial state. So this is shown on slide 31. So back propagation updates the value of N on the node N and also the Q value. The Q value is the sum of the rewards. And it does so up to the initial state. Do you see that we always look for a parent of a node? If we don't find any parent anymore, we are in the root node of our search tree, and then backpropagation stops. The reward value can take various forms. It can be a discrete value, for example, just a win, draw, or loss represented in this value, or we can also use a continuous reward value. Usually, rewards are normalized to the interval 0, 1. Slide 32 summarizes the UCT algorithm with its four phases. You can download the complete description of this algorithm from the CMS. So let us now look at an example. We start on slide 33. So first, we need to make a selection. So we are in the construct the initial state and root node of the tree. The N and Q values of this node are zero. Now we have to expand because we still have unvisited children. So let's assume we have, for example, two actions that are applicable in the initial state A1 and A2. We randomly take an untried action. So in our case, we assume that this is action A1. A1 leads us to the child or successor state of S0, which we call S1. N and Q values of the state are zero. Now we decide to select this node. Slide 36 shows the simulation. So now we try to reach a terminal state by a random playout of actions. So here you see it is very important that at one point this stops and there is really a termination of the simulation. Otherwise, the algorithm would not work. So after some time, we reach a terminal state SG and we receive a reward, let's assume here, of 0.2. Now we can backpropagate this reward, which is shown on slide 37. So we go back to the node that we had selected, N1, and from there we begin to update the values. So the Q value of N1 is 0.2, and we visited this node 1, so its N value is 1. We continue the backpropagation on slide 38 up to the initial state, the root node of our search tree. N0 was now visited 1, and it also receives the Q value of 0.2. So now we are again at the root of the search tree, and our tree looks as it is shown on slide 39, first round is completed, and now we actually start the second round. We again expand the initial state because it still has unexplored children. This is shown on slide 40. So this time we decide to select action A2, and we select the node N2 with state S2. N and Q values of this node are 0. After the selection, we run a simulation again, slide 42. We reach a terminal state after some time, and let us assume that this time our reward is 0.1. Now backpropagation follows, and we propagate this reward back up to the initial state as shown on slide 43. So node N2 receives a Q value of 0.1, and its visit count N is also set to 1. The Q value for the root node N0 is now incremented by 0.1 and sums up to 0.3. The visit count of the root node is incremented by 1 as well, and we also end up with an N value of 2. Slide 44 summarizes the state after the second round. Now we move on and proceed with the third round of our algorithm. This round is a little different because now we don't have any unexplored children of the node N0 anymore. Both actions that are available for application in this state have been tried, and we have N and Q values which are different from 0. So now the UCB1 computation kicks in, and you see the formula at the bottom end again, and you see the values that we insert into this formula. And you realize that both UCB1 values are slightly different because the reward that we collected in the child nodes is different. So, as you expect, on slide 46, we now select the node with the better UCB1 value. Again, our algorithm expands this node. Let's assume, for example, we have two actions again, A3 and A4, as shown on slide 47. None of these child states has ever been visited, so again we use the expand function and simply choose an untried action from our state N1. So let's assume here that we pick action A3. So we decide to expand node N3, and we run a simulation from this node again, as shown on slide 49. After a while, the algorithm ends in a terminal state, and this time let us assume that we couldn't reach the goal at all. Our reward is 0. We backpropagate this value as shown on slide 50. So R is 0, which means that the Q values actually don't improve along this path. The visit counts, however, are incremented by 1. So slide 51 summarizes the state after the third round. We are again in the root node of the search tree. Now we make a UCB1 computation for the states N1 and N2. again. And you see that the value of UCB1 on the right-hand side of the search tree for node N2 is higher. So our algorithm will stop to explore the subtree starting in N1 because one rollout didn't increase the reward, so it doesn't look so promising, and it will continue on the right-hand side. So we make a selection of the node N2. Let's assume in this node we only have a single action that we can apply, called A5. You see the situation on slide 54. So we expand this action and we again do a simulation from node N5, which was selected for expansion. So let's assume we reach a terminal state as G with reward 0.1. Now we do backpropagation again. The Q values up to the root node increase by 0.1, and also the visit count of the nodes along this path is incremented. So after the fourth round, our algorithm looks as shown on slide 58. So now we make another selection again. We calculate UCB1 values of the child nodes of the root node. So for N1, we obtain a value of 1.77. And for N2, we also obtain the same value. Now we have a tie that we need to break. The reason for this is if you look at the two nodes, N1 and 2.0, you see that their N and Q values are now identical after the simulations we've done so far. So we need to make a selection now. And here we need some strategy how we break the ties on identical UCB1 values. In our case, we assume a very simple strategy. We take the leftmost node first, as shown on the slide. So now this leads us to explore N1 again. We still have an unexplored child of N1, which we can reach through the action A4. So this means we expand this node N4 by applying the action A4, and we run a simulation starting in this node. Let's assume it terminates in a goal state with reward 0.3. Again, we backpropagate this value. So along the path from N4 via N1 to the root of the tree, we increment the Q values by 0.3, and the node, the visit counts, we increment by 1. So after the fifth round, our tree looks as shown on slide 64. You can now see that we explored the left part of this tree a little bit more often, and also the Q values are higher than on the right hand side. So now let's assume we have reached our computational budget. So we have now need to return the best action from the initial state based on the knowledge that we gained through the current simulations. So far we could do these 5, and we assume here that our strategy simply selects the action that leads to the child node with most visits returned. Because when we visited a node more often, then it actually also means that this node looked more promising to us. So in our case, UCT will then select action A1. With this, I want to end the second part of the podcast for the lecture on local and stochastic search.